Item 13.
Mr. Wesson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice it being in the morning. All right.
We had two items that have kind of risen in getting started on the replenishment program for this year that wanted to bring to your attention. The first one was in 2009 we started this big retraining program for crabbers through the Blue Crab Disaster Program to either teach them in cage aquaculture or in spat on shell, so that they would have options to do other things and they wouldn't have to crab for the whole season. And we, we advertised these things in 2009, 10, 11, and 12, and never got any interest at all from Tangier, even though Tangier had, they got a big group of crabbers over there. And so this year, with being the last year, we actually, in a notice, set aside that we would take up to two Tangier people, and we made an effort to go out and talk to some of them and see if we could generate interest in them doing spat on shell, which for them, there's always been just a teeny bit of interest over there in cages. There's never been much interest. Got one guy we've had working with us in a training program from a long time that's doing cages, but most of the guys up there are dyed-in-the-wool dredgers, and doing spat on shell would be something that they could do. And the way Tangier is set up is kind of unique and confusing in that back in the 70s, the General Assembly passed code sections that set up on the right-hand side, the east side. They set up a Tangier pokemuck management area, and a couple years later, they set up the western side of Tangier in the management areas. And I tried to talk to Commissioner Douglas about what was going on by that time and what was the reason that they were doing this for. I'm not sure what was the issue at the time that they set these management areas up. I don't know if they were trying to block leasing or what, but they were set up, and then the commissioner was given authority to regulate within those management areas to set seasons or to allow harvest of orchards as they deemed necessary. And when you look at these areas, the blue line is the management areas, and the pink are public grounds, and then all the rest of that area is what we would normally consider as unassigned ground available for leasing. When the management areas were set up in the late 70s, there were some leases out there, and they were just kind of worked around in the management areas. But we got a big pot of leases that are up in here, and we got a few leases right here. But in 1982, the commission passed an order that said there wouldn't be any leasing on the Tangier side, but you could bring the commission lease applications for the western side. But those orders have long disappeared. I mean, they're not in force anymore, so we spent some time out with Dan Dyes, who really was I worked with three watermen, showed a little bit of interest. We went out with two of them regularly to see if we could find somewhere, but Dan Dyes is really the only one that came up with a site that he was comfortable with and we were comfortable with. And you can see that right here. The closest area in this public ground that we do any restoration on is in public ground number one at a site called Hurley's. So the question is, how do you move forward with allowing leasing there? And in talking with Ben Stagg, he was pretty much out of the impression that probably we could take lease applications there now anyhow if I hadn't brought it up to him, but I thought it was best to at least come to you and maybe set some sort of a policy for leasing up there, because the last thing we want now with the problems that we're having with poaching and everything is a land rush of people to go up here and lease grounds, just to take areas right up next to public grounds that are obviously not very good. And we have spent a lot of time in Tangier as a staff and doing areas, and we don't know of a single piece of orchard bottom that's any good, that has any orchards on it, that's not within these gray areas, within the public grounds. We had to really look to find this one little 10-acre spot that Dan could use for doing this spat on shell project to do an application for. So there probably is some area over here that we can find. We've not looked on this side very much. We think there are probably some potential areas that in the future people could lease along that edge, because there's really no orchard harvesting on this side at all, because there's no public ground over there. But just wanted to get the commission's opinion on whether we could we're ready to take applications there, but we'd like to take them on a case-by-case basis, and then if people want to apply out there, that we would come back to the commission and take them one at a time, as opposed to just open it wide open and allow leasing there.
Mr. Stagg, you want to weigh in on this subject?
Jim and I did discuss it, and I think we talked to Hank, too, because Hank's more of our expert on the Eastern Shore. None of us really can come up with the real reason all this was done in the 70s, exactly what the rationale was, but that, it's unassigned ground. It isn't a management area, so the commission has some additional authority to manage it, but and I kind of concur with Jim's position.
Through the years since the 70s, have you had any individuals come forward to say, I'm interested in leasing?
I'm aware of, and ain't shaking his head. But there are a few leases still here that were grandfathered originally when it was set up as a management area, but I'm not really sure if there's any activity on it. So
I think it's partly just because it's not in the mindset of a Tangierman to lease ground, and it's partly because they thought that they couldn't.
Mm-hmm. And this was going to be subjected to our
normal public procedure.
If you say it's okay to accept applications on a case-by-case, they'll still be subjected to the law, oyster leasing law, which means they have to be advertised. Someone could object for a reason we don't know about yet, but...
When you say you want it reviewed on a case-by-case basis, are you saying every single application would come before the commission, not just those that are protested?
Yeah.
We would look at every case.
I mean, we have this first one, and we would like to proceed with that one. But if and there may not be any interest, but if we get some kind of a land rush that wants to start, I mean, we have actually gone out and we've looked at this bottom, and this bottom is good for growing oysters. But, you know, you would not want leases showing up along the edges of these public grounds like we're seeing in other areas. Where,
what's the depth of water on the Dan Dyes proposal?
It's about 7 feet.
So most of that's pretty deep water out there, isn't it? Pretty
most
open.
Of it's very deep, and it's usually very soft.
Very soft.
I mean, that what this is we're catching a transition zone between hard and soft. So it's you don't want, for growing oysters, you don't want too hard because that's moving sand.
Yeah.
And you don't want too soft because the shells go into the mud. So you look for the intermediate, and there's no natural rocks there. So you have to start from scratch.
Are you proposing cage culture there? Or
for he wants to do spat on shell.
I mean,
we've got a tank for him. And, you know, in this situation, we provide the shells. They have to bag them, and we provide the larvae. And then they replant them on these areas for dredge harvest. And this area is nice and separated from anybody that would be working on public ground. There's really no reason for anybody to be over there. So it's about a mile from the closest harvest area.
Mr. Badger, you want to weigh in?
Well, I think I understand what Jim's trying to do. I guess the question I would have is, would we come in front of, would Jim come in front of you first and say, we've got some interest in a particular area, should we go forward with it, and then they apply after getting permission from y'all, or should we accept all applications, go through the public interest review, and then bring it up here to you? I'm not sure which way you want to.
I don't think you'd want to force them to pay the money for advertising until we said it was okay. I
mean, you want them to come here first.
Yeah. So it's a two-shot.
Like two steps
like
guys
one,
have.
Like this one. I mean, hey, we've got his application, but we've not started it yet.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'd go, you're being asked today, I guess, to approve this application to go forward with the process.
Right.
And then it would come back.
If there was a protest.
3 months, 4 months to you guys.
Okay, so comes back regardless?
Yeah, I mean, if it passes review, it wouldn't have to come back.
Right.
I mean, the approval process for here would be just to take the application.
Okay.
So once that happens,
it's normal.
We would go forward.
No press protest, we're good to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any questions, commission members? Mr. Farmer.
This number one, Mr. Hurley's, that's a relative.
No, Hurley is, that's the name of a public orchard ground that people have named these areas.
Okay.
And Hurley's is a orchard rock within public ground one.
Who's got the application then? Is that the
Dan Dyes?
Okay.
Has the application.
Is the gray area, is that broken up into like many, many leases within that? Is it?
No, there's no leases. This is public ground. This
or I suppose surveyed areas to be considered for lease, or is it one that's what you're proposing is that full grade area be considered for a lease or?
No, the gray areas you would not be able to lease in. They're public ground. You cannot lease them.
You cannot lease them.
It's just the normal chart that you have here that are outside of the public grounds. This is public ground 1, 2, 3.
Any area outside of the gray boxes.
Outside of the gray boxes.
Would be available for leasing subject to this process you're talking to us about.
But you've not found suitable ground outside of the public.
No. Ground. So I think it'll be very rare.
Okay.
Yeah, we can go back to this one. That's, you know, on a broader scale. This is
larger parcels.
This is the one we're talking about up here that we're looking at, and that lease is like right over here.
The management area is the dashed lines. It's two management areas. So anything that's got more of a white background there is just unassigned ground, which is subject to what we're talking about today.
And an applicant can come with a survey and say, here's the area I want to lease.
Mm-hmm.
Anything outside those little gray zones that we were looking at.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Well, thank you. Why is the red dot in the gray zone then? I'm confused.
Oh, I just wanted to show that red dot. I should have used a different color. That red dot is an area that we actively plant shells on.
Okay.
Within the public ground.
Okay.
I mean, it has a name like a person's name, so that
right.
I mean, sometimes it says dogfish or California or something, so it wouldn't be. But this one is the name of a person, and I don't. So that was probably a bad choice, but it was the closest. We don't do any work in this public ground, or this public ground. Now, generally, we have this one little site that's close to here. All the rest of them are out on these ones on the other side of the channel.
Right.
So it's not even an issue over there.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
What's the commission's pleasure on this item?
I think we should go. It would be my opinion to go forward. If Dan Dyes wants to try it out, I think he's a capable person. Well, let him try it.
I think there ought to be. Well, I mean, we have the evaluation here, but I think there ought to be something written that describes this process that you've come up with, that if there are inquiries from the public, they can be provided and understand what the procedures are, that there'll be this step here before the commission, before they go through the normal leasing process. Is there any objection to proceeding in this manner? All right.
Yes, sir.
Seeing none, you're ready to go. Item two.
And then the second item was... We, since 1993, there's been an issue on Seaside with shells. I mean, we used to have one or two little shucking houses over there that we got a few shells from, but beginning in 1994, we actually got a grant from the Center for Innovative Technology to try to come up with a piece of equipment to actually harvest shells from seaside in shallow water and ways that we could recover shells. And this is the boat that we started using way back in 94 with those grants. And it actually had a hydraulic head. It's still over there, but this person is very sick right now, so he's kind of fallen by the wayside on being able to do things. But the shells would come up, and you can see there's a lot of hash and stuff mixed in them. But these are fossil shells that are in certain locations on seaside. And if you put them on a lease or on a public ground, this is what they look like. They look like shells we would plant from a shucking house. But, we've been doing this year in and year out, and it was a part of the program again this year to do some of this harvesting. And this is the equipment that we're using most now since the one guy's now is pretty sick. And it just takes a big dredge and just catches these shells right on the surface. They are, and we use them for replanting public ground. But again, with the interest in the spattle shell program, and we have a number of people that have signed up on the Eastern Shore, there are shells not available, and we're having to get shells trucked from the Western Shore, which with the escalation in price of shells, along with people just holding on to their shells, and all that transportation, it's got to be very expensive. You're talking about most of the guys are having to pay almost $5 a bushel to get shells from the Western Shore over to the Eastern Shore. We've been subsidizing $1.50, but they still have to pay that difference. And several of them asked, well, you know, can we go out to the sites you've been using year after year and get our own shells and put them on our private ground? And actually, this was a process that was done for years. And in fact, when we started doing this in 93, it's because the older waterman there said that, you know, for years we've gone to these sites, we've gotten shells for our private ground, and they just took them. I mean, there wasn't any. There are old fossil horse shell beds. As the Eastern Shore has rolled back, they're offshore. And if any of you have ever been to, there's one island out there called Wreck Island, and it's basically just a mile of nothing but shells up on land that have rolled in. And one of the big areas that we've used has been that area that's right at the end of Wreck Shoals, because as these, Wreck Island, as these shells kind of roll down the shore, they end up depositing right in the mouth of that sand shoal inlet, and that we've used that site year after year, and some of the guys have said, you know, can we actually go and get some there and use them for our private ground? And in our code section 550, the commissioner has the authority to make put notices out, and it's in your, you can turn over, I had a copy of it in your briefing back, I think it's second to the last page. to authorize, you know, contracts for taking dredge reef shells. And in this case, it seems like these shells are in deep water. There's no oysters attached to them, because on seaside we don't get spat sets anywhere but intertidal. So you never see any oysters. Occasionally you see a clam, but it's pretty rare because it's such an active area where shells are moving all the time that it either sandblasts whatever is live off those shells or they don't survive because it's too deep. I don't know which one. But you're talking about 8 to 15 feet of water. You can easily catch them with a dredge. And we're recommending that we put a notice out. And I don't, with the way shells are now, I don't think we should give them away, because they definitely have a value. And, you know, we're suggesting in the notice 50 cents a bushel, and you'd be paying that into the special replenishment fund just like we do other things. And then those funds can be used for other projects on Seaside. But it's just, again, shells are the currency of oyster restoration now that is most limiting. And it's a way to make shells available to private industry when they need to do some restoration on their own ground.
Couple of questions, Jim. Are we certain that the monies from the selling of these shells will go into the oyster replenishment fund?
Yeah, we've done this
where it's protected.
Yeah, we've sold seed before. I mean, it's a common thing that we do.
Okay, so it's not money that ends up going back to Richmond or
no. This is all deposited in the special
fund. Stays in the special fund. Yeah, where it has to be used for oyster replenishment.
Yeah.
50 cents per bushel. That seems cheap to me.
Well, in some ways it is, but these guys are going to have to go out there and do the work of catching them, put them in some sort of a container, and then taking them to their place. And it, in some ways it is cheap, but in other ways, you know, I was thinking, you know, is it too high? I mean, because we've sold seed in the past. I mean, you can go get seed now for yourself for 20 cents at the replenishment tax. And that's got live oysters. And so, I mean, it's...
Any thoughts on interest levels at this point or quantities that would be taken?
You know, I think you're talking about in thousands of bushels at the max. I mean, you're talking about small boats with small dredges. I mean, the fellow that works for us, a load for him on a day is 1,000 bushels with that barge. So they're not going to be getting that much in a normal boat.
What kind of oversight would you
propose? I think it would pretty much be on your own. I mean, it would have to be an honor system where they, just like right now when we sell seed up in the, I mean, several years ago we sold seed up on our dredge sites in the James River. And we pretty much just take a tally and, look at a lumped amount. And they would have
you would have time. Somebody
you would have some, but it's not going to be where we're going to be out there tallying bushels or anything. It's going to be a best guess.
Okay. Mr. Robin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim, how can we ensure that these will stay in the state? In other words, is there anything if we allow this to go
forward?
Well,
the notice says it's for use on private grounds only.
In Virginia?
In Virginia, yeah.
And so they would have to attest to that in the contract by which they were engaged?
I cannot imagine going anywhere else because of the fact that you've got to work in such small boats in order to work in this area of getting in any kind of system. Now, if somebody wanted to go, you know, we've often thought about harvesting those shells on Wreck Island, but it's a game department island, and, you know, they want it for the birds. So that's a much easier place. You could go out there with big trucks, but here you're talking about small boats, and it would not lend itself to doing any big operation.
Okay, I guess I just want to make sure that we're not in a situation where the resource is harvested and then exported out of the state of Virginia. So, okay.
And they would all have contracts with us. I mean, it's going to be on a contract basis. So,
contract would limit you to a certain size vessel, or
no? But I think you will see what it is, and if we saw the intent being something different than going on private ground, we could come back to the commission and make some change.
Mr. Tanger?
So the two questions. So that implies some type of monitoring.
Yeah.
What do you see in that regard? And how would that play out?
When they come to shore, we would see what they have. We would probably set it up so we would just meet them when they came in with loads.
Okay.
Or meet them wherever they planted their oysters at.
Okay.
I mean, that's what we do most of the time with seed and things like that.
Okay. So my follow-up question is, what kind of resource is really there? I mean, have you got any sense?
We don't know. I mean, we've gone there year after year. It's always filling back up. But you can definitely see by the end of the season, if you stay in one area, that the shells are not as big as they were when you started. So you've worked off the surface, and they kind of fluff themselves by size into the as they're laying there. So the biggest ones are always the ones that are on top.
Right.
And it, I mean, if this works out, it's got the potential that there are actually three sites that we know of on Seaside that this could be done. There's one at Smith Island, and there's one at Metonkin Inlet. But kind of wanted just to start with one area and see how it worked. And then if it works well, then, you know, next year we could expand. But it's just trying to figure out how to deal with this shell issue that is limiting private ground aquaculture.
Any other questions? Sir, Mr. Plumley.
I would like to see it track where the shells are taken, you know, what grounds are you know, I guess you have the name of the leaseholder going in every case so you know which grounds they own. But I'd like to see that done, too.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. So the contract would specify the planting location.
The lease number. Yeah, we can do that easily.
Any other questions? What's the pleasure of the commission on this item?
Mr. Tankin? This is a procurement issue, so it would have to be, that one has to be voted on.
All right. So remind us of that again, Jim. The procurement.
This is an advertisement, though, right?
We need a motion
to approve this procurement method,
where the commission sets the price at 50 cents per bushel.
50 cents a bushel, yeah.
All right. So we need a motion to, essentially to the effect of the last paragraph on the staff recommendation. Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would offer a motion consistent with staff recommendation that we advertise for the harvest of shells by private industry from the area at the mouth of Sand Shoal Inlet, and that shells in that area may be purchased from the Commonwealth for use in replenishment of private oyster ground in the Commonwealth of Virginia at a price of 50 cents a bushel.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Tanker. Comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Thank you.